Seek to Understand, a podcast about holistic wellness and a bunch of other stuff, coming from humans with experience and shower thoughts. Not intended to serve as medical advice or treatment. We want to help you understand your why. Brought to you by Kelly Cash, Neva Wilkerson, and Brandon Johnson. Here we go.
Getting in shape can be hard. Finding time to drive all the way to the gym with everything else going on can be daunting, but it is super important. That's why my wife Trista and I have developed Fit From Home. Now you can get strong from the comfort of your own home. You need very little equipment and about 30 minutes of your time. You work out directly with us as we give you options for each exercise. You get access to daily workouts, informational presentations, and epic bonus workouts. You also get access to a private Facebook group full of people sharing a common goal. All of this for just $16 a month. Go to changeinmotionpt.com and click the Fit From Home link to sign up today.
So right before you got here, I was talking to Kelly about, I think it's a movement's a great segue from happy, because in the last year or so, I've been working on neuroscience and how the cranial nerves affect musculoskeletal and skeletal nerves, and what nerve endings are. And so, did you know that most of your happy nerve endings are found in your joints? They're called mechanoreceptors.
Really?
So when you move your joints, yes, you have like baroreceptors, which aren't the nerve endings that are for the pressure, and then nociceptors, which are turned on way too much, and that's about the run like hell because you're being chased by a bear. But then the happy,
which probably causes the inflammation in the joints.
Yes. But if you want the mechanoreceptors to be firing more, they are located in their joint spaces, and so moving your joints brings happiness, and that's one reason you feel better when you move.
What a lovely segue.
I know. Yeah.
So cool how it all ties together.
And that doesn't surprise me at all, you know. It doesn't surprise me.
No. How the brain perceives everything.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move.
Yeah. So speaking of the brain and movement, one of the things that got me really sunk into this, was my first full-time job was at an assisted living facility, assisted living facility, where I was the full-time personal trainer for the residents. I would do classes and one-on-ones, and they hired a mentor. I don't know how this came about, but they hired me a mentor, somebody to come in and teach me. And this guy's specialty was exercise's effects on dementia, right? So he made me read, the first thing he suggested I read was a book called Spark. It's called Spark, The Revolutionary New Science Behind Exercise in the Brain, right? So it talked about all the things that moving does for your heart rate. And one of the things that really stuck out to me and that I've read several times and will read several more times is it talked about behavioral issues. So it took to a school in Kansas City, and they started this thing called Zero Hour. It was before school every single day, and the kids had to come run for, I can't remember the extended period of time. Now, the interesting thing was, it wasn't everybody had to get a 6, 8, 10 minute mile, right? That wasn't the qualifier. Everybody wore a heart rate monitor. You passed the class if your heart rate stayed above 60% for most of for an extended period of time, right? Okay, so that was the qualifier to pass the class. The school went from the bottom of the barrel as far as academic studies go, as far as violence inside the school, and it went up, I should have specific information, but a humongous change based only on the fact that Zero Hour existed, right? So that's one of the big things behind it, because it just, like you said, the happy joints, you get a lot of kids, for a lot of kids, it's getting out some kind of aggression, stuff like that. But so that was a really, that whole book just talks about, there's called stuff called BDNF, right? That you get from movement, you get your heart rate above a certain point, and it's like Miracle-Grow for brain cells that is produced when you exercise, right? Brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Okay. So it's a lot of technical stuff, but we went from talking about the brain and how it makes you feel. And so that book was really, gave it a scientific background. You know what I mean?
Which I love. And I think that if we were to delve into the uptick in healthcare needs, it's because we have outsourced movement in every hour, every aspect of our life. And so when I say outsourced movement, it used to be that when you got in the car, you had to open the door and then you had to roll down your window with your hand going in circles. You had to turn around to look behind you to see if somebody was coming. You didn't have the backup camera. You had to get up and walk across the room to turn your TV on, off, up, down, change channels. You had to walk into the kitchen to get the telephone.
Well, listen, drive-thrus are a new thing.
Couldn't drive everything.
Up and get your food without getting out of your car, for crying out loud.
At all. But so if you just stop and really think about how much we've really outsourced movement in every aspect of our life. Every aspect, and even in the workforce, because I'm going to age myself. Back in the day when I was in secretarial, you had to actually walk down to the mail room to get the mail. You actually had to fold paper, put it in an envelope, walk it down. Things were in a file cabinet, so you were squatting, you were standing up, you were sitting down, answering the phone, you were moving. Now you don't leave your cubicle. Click, 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 click.
And you got a headset for your phone calls. Yep.
So depression is on the rise. Yep. Cardiovascular issues are on the rise because if you're
anxiety,
not moving this,
yeah. Right along with depression.
All of those things are up because we've outsourced movement. So movement is extremely important for every aspect of life.
We've outsourced movement to our kids too, for our kids.
Yes,
because our kids do not move enough inside the schools. We had to sign a waiver for my son to get PE for 3/4 of the year. Like,
they don't get near enough recess. They don't get near enough PE time.
I didn't even know that was an option. That's good to know.
Yeah, well, I didn't either until I got an email from the school. Pull your mic up a little bit. Before we got an email from the school, and they just said he wants to take PE again. Okay.
Let him.
Yeah, why? Yes, please. Why do I need to
yes, please.
Okay this? And that's been one of my things to the Hallsville School Board is the lack of movement inside the school. And their response is just that they meet the standard, right? They do meet the standard for physical activity based on what the Missouri state has set. So you
the
kind of.
The standard sucks.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's.
Yeah. Well, that's and that's what I told them.
Because everything is standardized everything. Yeah. I was just told that about our water system in Centralia that's terrible. And they said, well, you know.
We meet
the standards. We don't really have to have that part. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
So we get to drink cruddy water.
We can do better, guys.
We can do way better. We need to up the standards.
Yeah.
Personally. If you start personally up. Rising your standards.
Mm-hmm. Maybe other people will catch on.
Mm-hmm. Hope so.
The point of this, right?
Yes.
So Brandon talked, and I think you guys have talked a lot about the benefit of exercise. I shouldn't have said exercise, sorry. Movement in mental health, which I think is huge. It increases dopamine. I think we've talked about that before. Brandon started to talk about brain health, and I can tell you that there are a lot of studies that show, and he mentioned Alzheimer's, and I haven't read the Spark book, but that physical activity is superior to any of the medications that we have for dementia or Alzheimer's. So what is, I always simplify this down for my patients. What's our blood's job? To carry oxygen and nutrients to our cells and get rid of the waste, right? And so if we can just move blood around in our body, simple, doesn't matter how you do it, just move your blood, move around. Otherwise, if you sit around on a really nice, comfortable couch like a slug, your blood's not moving, you know, your heart's not pumping very hard, things get sluggish, and so you just can't as efficiently move good oxygen nutrients to your cells and get rid of the waste. And so if you can enhance that process, ultimately, it makes sense, right? You're getting more oxygen. You're getting more nutrients to your brain. You're getting rid of the waste. So,
And we asked the question, what is health? You know, we've asked that before. We've talked about it before. But one of the things that being healthy is being your body's ability to get rid of toxins, right? And one of the ways that your body does that is through blood flow, right?
And lymphatic flow.
Right.
And so, again, the joints. Where is the most amount of little lymphatic pockets with the little grapes underneath the skin of the lymphatic. It's in the groin. It's behind the knees. It's in the axillary underneath the arms. It's in the chest wall. So breathing, expanding and contracting the chest wall, you're squeezing those little lymphatic pockets and you're pushing it through and you're clearing it out. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about it some in like the sense of a stream. Like if you have a stream that's fast flowing and it's really clear water. You can see the rock underneath the water really pretty. And then when you see a limb that's fallen into the creek and it becomes slower, it becomes a little bit more sluggish and it's not quite, you can't see the bottom. If you see it where it's completely blocked off, it's got flies hanging on stagnant. It. You can't see it. It's mm-hmm. gross. And mm-hmm. so think about that as your lymphatic. If you're not pushing that blood flow through, if you're not pushing that lymphatic out, it's going to look like thick, milky, gross stuff. And so keep it flushing really quickly. If we go back to the whole COVID thing, the people that were coming out of COVID a little bit more are the ones that had to go to work, or the farmers that had to get up and feed the cows because they were moving. They got up and they moved. And so they were pushing that all out of there. Not in every case, but in a lot of people that I know, that was the case. I mean, the difference between a husband that was checking the cattle was different than the wife that was in the house. It mm-hmm. was amazing to me. I was like, yeah, they're moving. Go help them feed yeah. the cows.
And I saw numerous people who developed, you know, you feel bad, you get a bad virus, you're bedbound, and your inflammatory responses go up. You're more likely to make a blood clot. But if you don't move while you're sick, then your blood stagnates. And I can't tell you how many people I saw with strokes, heart attacks, pulmonary emboli, so blood clots in the lungs, blood clots in their legs, as a secondary complication from sitting around with viral illness.
I really encourage fidgeting, and again, in schools and everywhere else, where mm-hmm. we're told, sit still, stand still, stand still, stand, mm-hmm. sit still. No, it's okay to move. They're actually healthy if they're moving, because they're even mm-hmm. if you're doing micro movements of the muscles, it's better than no muscles.
Well, and they show that people that twitch burn more calories. Their basal metabolic rate, which we'll get into later, is higher because of the simple fact that they're just moving. They just mm-hmm. don't sit still, you know?
But so again, it's really okay. My kid didn't sit.
Yeah.
No, it's wonderful. It's,
yeah. I don't think we're supposed to.
We're not. And so, you know, if we go back to the school system, because that's mm-hmm. let's be real here. Let's start with the kids, because they're going to be our future. Mm-hmm. And if we don't educate them to live healthier lives, we're sunk. And so can we go to where they can have bouncy balls to sit on in the classroom? Can they crawl around on the floor when they're doing their homework? No, right. Everybody has to sit in a seat, face forward, don't move, which is not healthy. Mm-hmm. And so,
but it's the standard.
I was saying, let's get rid of the standards.
Yeah.
Let's change the world.
So one of the things, Kelly kind of slipped with earlier, but like she called it exercise. So I think it's an important point to make that we don't necessarily mean that, right? Because we've talked kind of before about what is exercise, what is movement. So we should dive into this, I think. And because again, I think everybody hears us and goes like, oh, I can't go to the gym 5 times a week or 3 times a week. I just can't do it.
I hate exercise.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So I think I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I know I have with you guys off air about the fact that I realized I can't do steps.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no stairs in my life. Centro is flat. My house is flat. I have no stairs. And so when I was forced to do some stairs during Christmas, I was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And so I have a step stool at home and a step stool at work.
Yeah.
So 2-3 times during the day, I just step up and down off the step stools. And so if you can go to the gym and you love going to the gym, go to the gym.
Right.
But if you can't, you can figure out ways. You go to a friend's house who has steps and go, I'm going to up and down these 3 or 4 times before we do our podcast. I have, since hanging out with the two of you, changed my perception and my negativity on the word exercise and the need for exercise. Because I was thinking that I really probably should schedule a visit or two with Brandon, because I can't do a push-up either.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, strength is important.
Yep, it is very important.
I got to be able to push myself up off the floor when I'm playing with that granddaughter in 2 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's important. Again, we're talking about movement, and we are, I of course, because of what I do, encourage actual strength training exercise dedicated to that. But if that's overwhelming to you, don't go there yet. Like Neva said, get a stool and do some step ups to it, or sit down in your chair and stand up as many times as you can in 30 seconds. Like, keep it simple, keep the blood flowing. If that's our first priority, then that has to be our first priority, is just finding a way to make your blood flow.
And I will add to that do not tell me you're too old.
Oh, yeah.
This is what you're supposed to be because we've aged. Because my last client this morning in the office was in her late 80s and I've been seeing her for 2 or 3 months now. She just now recognizes that she's not moving, and she is. She's up and moving. She's not coming in with her cane anymore. Mm-hmm. She's paying attention to how much she's sitting, how she's sitting. And she actually said to me today, she said, I actually have hope again. She goes, I didn't think I'd ever want to go back to my exercise class at the rec center, but now I think I want to go.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, yay!
Yeah, that's
yay
awesome.
For you, because you just recognized that she fell a while back, and so then it became fearful that that was going to happen again. So we just talked about there's always that possibility I could fall. You know, and so what can prevent you from that? And that is movement, getting the brain, because the brain remembers everything. It remembers holding patterns. It remembers everything. It keeps score. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not moving, the brain doesn't ever talk to your body to tell it to move. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be moving to tell the brain, hey.
So that brings me to one of the favorite things, and I can't dictate why it's one of the things that stuck with me the most, but there's this principle of the body. It's called the SAID principle, SAID. It stands for Specific Adaptation of Imposed Demands. Mm-hmm. What it basically means is that your body will adjust to anything you ask it to, right? So if you ask your body to adjust to sitting on the couch, your muscles will atrophy because your body, your brain will send that signal to your body that says, well, we don't need to use these. These are not functional to us. So we're not going to waste any resources providing them fuel, right? And then on the other hand, if you run a mile every single day, your body will go, because that's what building strength and stamina is you're doing some quote unquote damage to your body. And then your body gets a signal to stimulate growth of muscles and stuff like that, because it goes, well, this is something we've done over and over now, so we're going to have to get prepared for this, right? We have to prepare ourselves to do what the people are asking us to do. So you can change what your current habits are. You just have to really change what you're asking your body.
In your mindset, and I think it's really important to cross-train. So if you're only going to be a walker, you're never going to run. If you're going to be a biker, you're never going to walk and run. And so to cross, I think I'm really big into doing cross training to...
Not CrossFit. Cross training.
So basically, if you're sitting all day, you need to be walking. If you're running all the time, then you need to walk. If you jog, then occasionally run. And so those intermittent runnings where you walk and then you jog and then you walk and then you run. And so, or bike one day, lift weights one day.
Vary your activity.
But we get so... stuck, I think, in repetitive behaviors, because that's what we've always done and that's what we're training to do. And so we just go to the gym and we lift weights versus maybe doing some cardiovascular, maybe doing some stretching, just doing some breathing, taking a day off. And then I always say this I was telling my client this morning too, and I say it a lot, is check in with yourself every day too. So some days you're not up to doing the physical activity. And so what can you do though to move, but just not so much? And always give your body grace for what it can give you today. Because there's so many things that go into limiting mobility. It could be that you've eaten a box of Girl Scout cookies the day before, so now you have inflammation. Mm-hmm. It could be that you went to a concert last night and you drank too much beer and you got home too late. It could be that you had to fight with your husband, or you got a phone call that somebody passed away. I mean, there's so many mental things.
You're on your cycle.
Yeah, you're on your cycle. There's so many things that can go into your abilities. Give yourself grace every day. And give yourself thanks every day for what your body can do, but don't just give up.
Right. That's the important thing. If you're going to, it's really easy for somebody especially somebody that's just trying to create the habit to find reasons not to, right? So if you say, listen to yourself every day, and if your body's telling you or don't do it, then you have to stop and ask yourself, okay, is my body telling me I shouldn't do it? Or is my brain trying? Because there are two parts of you. There are always two parts of you. Especially when it comes to picking whether you are moving or not, or making good decisions or not. Like, there's two parts. I've been talking a lot about this with people because I'll have them in an isometric position where they're just suffering. And I said, you have two parts of you inside of you right now. There's a part of you that says to just give up, that it's not worth it. And then there's another part of you that can say, that really can find it in yourself to say, I'm not quitting until that timer goes off, right? And then the more victory you give that second one, again, the said principle, the more you ask that of yourself, the better your body will become at doing it. So I caution people to give yourself the grace of that, because I don't want them to take advantage of that. Like, so what you said at the end was perfect. Right. Like, don't give up. Like, if you can't do your regularly scheduled workout, that doesn't mean don't do anything. It means find something else to do.
Right. So if I can't run today,
go walk outside, go for a walk in the nice weather.
Yeah, go for a walk. If I can't get to the gym today, so move your car to the other end of the parking lot so you have to walk farther to the grocery store or to your office. There's ways that you can incorporate movement into your daily life because we don't even realize how much we haven't moved. How we always automatically look for the parking space up close, or we automatically always park our car in the exact same spot every day. I mean, you can literally navigate your entire life because you do the same thing every day. And so move your coffee cups every now and then. Move your couch. I mean, move other things other than your body so your body has to move.
So I just recently got one of those stand-up adapters for my computer at my desk. And so they say that sitting is the new smoking, again, because everything stagnates. And so I'm trying to be more aware and stand during my work day. I was on Zoom all morning, and so I tried to stand up and just stretch a little bit during my Zoom session just to move a little.
I have a ball chair at the office, and I absolutely love it. The caution to that, though, I think I've told Kelly the story. So I got a ball chair at my office, and I was so excited, and everybody was talking about my ball chair. So I was showing him. I was bouncing around on it. I was like, this is the coolest thing. And, like, day three, I went home, and I laid down in bed at night and literally could not breathe. And I thought, I'm going to die. So I get up, and I go into the living room. My girls are in there. I'm like, I think I'm dying. Like, do we need to call the 911? I'm like, that's not my heart. Well, is it your gut? Is your colon like it? No, I don't think so. So I'm going to go outside and get some air. And I bent over and I'm like, you stupid idiot. It's called delayed onset muscle spasms. So don't bounce on the balls too much at one time. Ease your way into activity, people. Don't just go, I'm going to do it and I'm going to go hardcore.
Because
then your body goes, your body goes, the hell you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you get a ball chair. And then I saw just this week.
Ease your way into it.
Baby steps. Have you seen those chairs they're called squat chairs now. So it's like a stool and then there's a little platform so you can actually sit and squat. You can put your knees up like a squatty potty or you can put your knees back underneath you. Yeah, they're called squat chairs.
Interesting.
I may have to get one of those.
Why? Yeah. What's the point?
Different movements. So you can move around in your chair so you're not sitting on your butt all day long. Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when they go home at night and they say that their legs are swollen at the end of the day, you're putting a tourniquet on the back of your leg when you're sitting in a chair all day. So you're basically putting a tourniquet on your leg all day long. And so you don't get vascular return. And so with that chair, it gives you different options of how to sit.
Cool. Well, I read a thing the other day that talked about the calf muscle being the second heart. They're considering it the second heart nowadays.
Well, it's called the soleus muscle. It's on the outside of the calf.
Right.
And it's called the little heart helper. And the reason it's called that is because when you can move your foot up and down and you're walking or you're moving that calf and it's pumping, that is squeezing. And that's what causes vascular return to the heart.
Exactly.
It's called a little heart helper.
So that's the reason they're telling you that sitting is the new smoking is because it's bad for your heart. It really is.
Yeah.
How many of y'all know of somebody that's been in the hospital and they put, what are they called, Kelly, when they put them?
Oh, those SCDs. So sequential compression devices. So those are those things that they put on legs that pump.
Like Normatec sleeves? Like pump air?
Yeah, they pump air.
So they squeeze up and then they let down. And they squeeze up and let down. So if you are a post-op back in the day when they kept you in the hospital more than 2.4 minutes after your surgery, you had to stay for a couple of days and you weren't going to get up ambulating, walking down the hallway, they would put those on your legs. The reason they did that, they're mimicking you walking.
Right. Blood flow. Yep.
So do it naturally.
Blood flow restriction is something that's kind of coming out of the, well, wherever it came from. I'm just finding out about it, but it's a way to speed up recovery. Basically, you take a tourniquet and cut off a limb and exercise that limb and then release the tourniquet and all new blood just fills that arm that's just been exercised and is screaming for blood flow.
So that could
Don't try that at home.
It also can be called neuromuscular therapy or trigger point therapy. So that's what I do in my job all day, every day. I find that constriction in your muscle. I hold static compression. Just hold it tight. You're going to hate me for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I'm not putting a lot of pressure on you, I'm just stopping the blood flow and the oxygen to that area. And then the brain kicks in and goes, what? I can't work without blood flow and oxygen. So I'm going to shut you off so that you don't hurt yourself. And then you can really, you can physically feel the release. Mm-hmm. And people will mm-hmm. say, it's like you just turned on a water faucet. So it's the same type. I'm sure it's the same concept of that mm-hmm. is when you restrict it, it yep. shuts off. And then when you turn it back on, it's like, whoosh.
Yeah.
It's like mm-hmm. happy.
Yeah.
Here we go. Happy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is completely anecdotal because I can't remember where I heard this or read this, but going back to the way we were talking about people sitting, you know how in many Eastern cultures, they sit in kind of that squat position with their bottom low and feet flat on the ground, mm-hmm. you know, bottom, and they'll eat that way or do whatever. There's actually studies that show that is linked to longevity, just that positioning.
Yep.
It's funny because I just saw a post on that recently. About squatting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We need to look into why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all.
That's all. Why we do everything. We got to look into the why about that. Yeah, why is that? Why is that longevity?
So you guys talked about mental health. We've talked about detoxification with movement. I want to talk about just joint health. You talked about the mechanoreceptors, right, in mm-hmm. the joints. And the benefit mentally of the movement, but let's talk about how the movement actually benefits the joints. So we say a lot of times motion is lotion, right?
I was hoping you were going to say that because that's what I say. Motion is lotion because you're lubricating the joints. So think of a car and how the lug nuts in the car tire are with oil on them. They're lubricated. And so if you use the car daily, if you stop using your car and you set it in your driveway and you don't start it and move it, what happens? Mm-hmm. It locks up, it rusts up, it becomes no fluid motion, the fluid leaks out of the balls, what are they called, ball joints or whatever?
Sure.
Those things. And so then you don't have it. So if you're not moving, you're not producing lotion, mm-hmm. fluidity. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So folks who suffer with a lot of arthritis, especially stiffness in the joints, mm-hmm. it hurts initially to start moving those joints, mm-hmm. but I promise you, if you suffer from that, once you do start moving those joints, over time, they feel so much better.
Yep. The said principle, once you start asking your joints to move and they understand that that's going to have to be their thing now, they will adapt to that. Yep. Yep.
So if you look at the body of how it's created with the muscle, which is the big belly of the muscle, and then at the end of that is the tendon. The tendon crosses a joint. So when the muscle contracts and shortens, it moves a joint. So it moves your fingers open, close, your wrist open, close, your shoulders up and down. So if you're not moving and you're having stagnant muscles, they're not fluid. It's kind of like, this is gross, people, but it's like take a steak that's nice and beefy red that you just got from the grocery store and let it sit on your counter. It's going to dry out, it's going to be gross, and it's going to be brittle. That is your muscle. And so if you're not moving it, you don't have that moisture. And so then what happens is when the muscles draw up, it shortens, closes the joint space. And so then you have difficulty moving your joints because the tendon going across that is being restricted by the muscle. Mm-hmm. So warm it up. Hot showers, hot baths, movement, warm it up, rub it. Those are really good things to get that moisture back in there. But that's, when I think of arthritis, I always think of restricted muscles. It's causing the joint space to not. Now, there is genetic things with the rheumatoid arthritis and those kind of things. So there is that. But I'm a firm believer.
But osteoarthritis is different than rheumatoid arthritis.
It is. It is. And so, again, I think in the medical profession, 80% can be treated with lifestyle changes and movement and dietary things and mental health, and 20% of it is a true genetic. I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong on that percentages, but I think it's at least 75-25% that there are genetic disorders that cause things. So I don't want anybody to think that I disagree with that, because there is. But for the most part, we're over-treating when we could be self-treating.
Right. Sure. Right. And for those of you that don't know, so rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune condition where your body attacks your joints. Osteoarthritis is where there's arthritis or wear and tear essentially on the joints, and inflammation in the joints that way.
So what do you know about the, is it Psoriatic
arthritis.
There it is. Yes. What's that?
It's another type of autoimmune disorder.
Okay.
If you have any of those, look into the carnivore diet and its effects on RA especially. There's been a lot of people with RA that can vouch for that. But I'm not suggesting you do the carnivore diet. I'm just suggesting you look into it.
Mm-hmm. Everything that we say is a recommendation for you to investigate further on your own. Mm-hmm. This is all just to prompt your curiosity to go dig out the whys and to see if it makes sense to you. If it makes sense to you, then do it. Don't ever do anything because somebody else tells you to do it. Mm-hmm. Do it because it makes sense to you.
Because you're going
to
get a lot of confusing information.
And you understand it. So if it resonates with you and do your own research and...
Yeah. Know your why. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Mm-hmm. We just want to give you information so you can understand why and
hope.
Yeah.
I want to give you hope, too, that there is alternative to living unhappy, unhealthy lives.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about something else that movement is good for. And it's... kind of also for the joints, it's for recovery, right? So I want to talk about one thing specifically because talk about doing your own research. I want you to do your own research on this because if you go to a doctor, they're going to tell you, if you go to a doctor with a sprained ankle, they're going to tell you to what? Ice it, elevate it, right? So it turns out that that's not the best thing for you to do. If you have a injury that's going to require a surgery, immobilizing it might be a good idea. But if you, like for example, I broke my fibula X amount of months ago, and when it happened initially I put ice on it that night, but then I never iced it again. I just made sure I was moving my ankle because it was down, an ankle injury down near the ankle, high ankle sprain, broken bone, but I kept moving it.
Brandon can't ride a dirt bike, everyone.
I was not gonna say that out loud, but yeah, I chose to try that for the first time in my almost 40s. And turns out that's not the thing I'm good at. So sometimes it's good to know things about yourself. Sometimes you have to learn the hard way. And that's what I did.
Sorry.
You know what the worst part about it, though, is that I told my wife what I was going to do, where I was going, who I was going to be with, what I was going to be doing. The last thing she said to me before I left the house was, don't get hurt.
That's why it happened.
Yeah. So
it's her fault.
There you go. There's that. That's my But anyway, my point is that icing may not be the best idea because, again, what does it do if you elevate it and you ice it? Ice is a vasorestrictor, right? So it's not going to let the blood flow to the area, which is what we want, which is why movement helps. Even if it's not body weight movement, just me moving my ankle while I was sitting on the couch encouraged blood flow there all the time. And again, what have we talked about? Movement is about blood flow, right?
So Kelly, wouldn't you agree? I mean, what I've always been told is it's acute injury. So you,
sure.
You acutely, you ice it immediately just for pain control, because if you're in pain, you're not going to want to move.
And it's going to decrease inflammation. However,
there's good inflammation and there's bad inflammation.
Correct. And so that's kind of got my wheels turning because a lot of the newer thoughts with some of the orthopedic specialists are to not use ibuprofen with acute injury, especially post-op. I think they recommend this more because a lot of our inflammatory processes are healing, right?
Right.
And so if we have an anti-inflammatory and we're kind of shutting down that healing process,
well,
is that
effective?
Well,
it's the same thing we say about fevers, that you don't want to take a Tylenol or something like that if you have like 100.1. I mean, if it gets up higher than that, then you need to bring it down so you don't have internal damage done. But a fever is good. You will get better quicker if you allow the fever to run its course. Stay hydrated.
Because you know why? Our bodies are so freaking amazing. I mean, they're trying to heal themselves.
Oh, if you can break a bone and it can grow back together, if you can lacerate yourself to the bone and it can heal, what?
But we really want to just do something. We want to give our kid something because our kid has a fever and we just feel like we need to do something.
Or because
sometimes
we have to
go
and you have to go to work. So let's just push through it. Don't always push through it. Pushing through it's not always the best answer.
It's okay
when you're talking
to do
about
nothing.
The splinting it too. I also talk about that a lot because splinting actually reduces your recovery.
Yep. I did not wear a boot.
But a lot of people get a ankle sprain when they're in fifth grade playing basketball and they graduate from high school wearing a ankle brace in every single game from there on because they have weak ankles. You have weak ankles because you splinted them past time. So you can splint for immobility to heal quickly for short term.
Right.
I am
2 weeks.
And please, all you ortho people out there and you athletic trainers, I mean, I'm not kidding. When I watch NFL football and I see those ankles taped up, I want to.
Mm-hmm. Why do they tape up the joints of their finger? They're not even the joints. They're all the little carpal bones.
To not jam them, to avoid jamming them against other people's helmets or shoulder pads, because they're doing a lot of hand-to-hand.
Yeah.
To...
Uh-huh. So I might be able to understand that.
It from?
It probably just kind of like a splint keeps it a little more, like when you tape your wrist when you're boxing, just to kind of keep it from spraining.
Yeah, just reinforces
just reinforcing it.
Same thing
it,
with the ankle, so, but here's my thought about it. To be explosive from a squatted position with your toes behind you to explode out, you really need to be able to flip that foot and push mm-hmm. yourself off. Mm-hmm. You can't.
Well, the
and
way
the other thing is, I would love to see a study. I don't know if there's one out there, but I would love to see a study on how many of the high ankle sprains or the high fracture on the leg is right above the taping. Because I can tell you, having watched football and having athletes in football, it's almost always because then they stop and then they go to turn or they get pushed mm-hmm. and that bottom part doesn't go and the top part does. And also in farmers, it's right above the boot.
The boot, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. right above where that ankle doesn't roll and let you go sideways and come back up because your feet are supposed to toggle mm-hmm. and your ankles are supposed to toggle. Mm-hmm. But when we split this, so I could be wrong. But I just don't think I am. I just would like to see those things thrown away. Mm-hmm. I would like for people to realize.
Well, I can
God
vouch for that.
God gave you an ankle for a reason.
I can speak on that because I had a terrible ankle injury in seventh grade, ended up wearing ankle braces on both my ankles for my entire high school career, and then I got really into weightlifting. And since then, I probably will the first time I play basketball because of my injury, but I have played basketball without it. It was not really, but... Anyway, I don't need braces anymore. I haven't worn the braces in a long time because I have strengthened the ligaments. I've strengthened the tendons. I've strengthened the muscles. I've strengthened the bones, mm-hmm. right? Because that's the benefit of weightlifting. I mean, and
it's the benefit of all movement and all right. exercise and weightlifting and strengthening. I yep. mean, yep. sometimes weightlifting is just moving your own body, lifting your own body
yep.
up.
That's where everybody starts. I mean, almost unanimously, the first day is body weight squats and push-ups. And those two things are just, they kill people. And I'm yes. like, okay, this is your own body weight. We haven't touched anything yet. And this is your own body weight. Like, you need to be able to tolerate it better, right? You need to be able to move better with your own body that you've been given. That's another reason why being lean is so helpful. Because your body, there's nothing in the way of your joints. Like, mm-hmm. aside from the stuff inside, maybe you've got some kind of joint issue, but like there's no body, there's not excess body fat in the way of what you want to do, right?
I have so many examples of that kind of stuff too, because I have somebody that over the years I've had somebody with foot pain and they have all their body weights in the front. And so all of the torque goes towards their feet. So yeah, your feet are going to hurt and they want to deny it. And I'm like, carry a brick around your hand all day long. Your hand's going to hurt. Your shoulder's mm-hmm. going to hurt. So how you carry your weight is a big thing. So I'm always a big thing about don't look at the number on the scale because there's so many variables that go into what you weigh, but it's how you carry your weight. So if you have a lopsided body or lopsided weight, then you need to be paying attention to that.
Yeah, you're always shifting it forward mm-hmm. or backward.
Yeah,
or...
so you need to pay attention to where you're carrying your weight mm-hmm. and then to do
body. But even in that scenario.
Body sculpting. I mean, yeah. that's what you can do in right. your profession is help people body sculpture. Yep. If you have too much excessive belly weight, let's work on that area.
Right. Well, and that's something entirely different because body weight and exercising. So this is something I guess since we're here, we should talk about. If you're somebody that's goal is to lose weight, your first thought is going to be to go to the gym, right? Become more active. But in that scenario, that is a very small portion of what it is. So you need to, if you're thinking about losing weight, you need to really look at the diet. And we'll talk about that on some other separate occasion. But what movement will do, especially consistent movement, especially weightlifting will do, is over time increase the amount of calories that your body needs. Mm-hmm. Right. So that you will be able to burn that body weight. So movement is only a small portion and you need to think about it differently. Instead of the exercise being the thing that's going to help you lose weight. Think about the exercise thing being the thing that's going to improve your joint mobility, your bone density. Like, find a different approach to it, and then stick with it, right?
And I would expand on that too, that you also need to know what's going on within you chemically. You know, what are your blood sugars running? What is your thyroid doing? What are your hormone levels? So what's your blood pressure? So you also kind of need to know what chemistry is going on internally and with your diet and then movement. I mean, there's no one fix to any of this. It's all mind, body, spirit. It's all connected. And so you have to look at internally, externally as well.
None of this stuff that we ever talk about is universal except for this. Not one thing that we prescribe or recommend or talk about is good for all except for movement. It, again, doesn't have to be weightlifting, right?
Right.
Walking.
It is an individualized movement, but you're absolutely correct.
Right.
I think the only thing we haven't talked about, maybe it's not the only thing, but sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How movement improves your sleep. And I don't know that I can really expound upon that any further, well, but it helps you sleep.
Well, it does. And so, like, my last client this morning, we were talking about that, and she said that she sleeps better. She notices that she's sleeping better because she's moving during the day. And I can agree with that 100%. And I said, yeah, those weekends that I just want to veg on the couch all weekend and do nothing but watch football and stupid stuff, by Sunday, I'm like, oh, my God, I cannot sleep. I just can't stay asleep. And it's because
you haven't expended your energies.
Yeah.
Your body doesn't feel the same. You know, probably neurochemicals are different because we know that that movement helps produce better neurochemicals.
The best I felt in a long time was when we built the building. So we had a machine shed that we turned into a building for where I house my business. And we did an expansion on it. And I worked all day. And then every evening we go out there. On the weekends we go out there. I had so much fun counting, adding up the amount of weight that I lifted by moving mulch bags and rock and all that kind of stuff. And everybody was like, aren't you tired? And I was like, I actually feel better than I have forever.
Yeah, it's the great irony that actually exercising will stimulate you. Can be stimulating, which is funny that we're talking about that in the same breath as movement will help you sleep, right? Mm-hmm. It's because you talked about it one time. You said that your body craves homeostasis, right? So if you're a sedentary person who eats like crap, your homeostasis level is going to be really low, right? And then what we're talking about is increasing your body's baseline. This is where I thrive at, right? So if you move, that baseline can go up a little bit, right? If you eat well, that baseline can go up a little bit, but without movement, that baseline will never be able to reach any new heights at all. You're stuck.
And I will challenge everybody, because in the 11 years that I've been doing the current job that I'm in, I can't tell you how many times people say, well, I can't do that. When I make a suggestion, like at work, well, I can't do that. Well, I can't do that.
Why?
They don't want to.
Right.
You don't want to. So if you don't want to, you're right. You're not going to. So
yeah.
Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do.
Most of the time.
Do it anyway.
And you can do hard things.
You can do hard things, and you don't have to start out gung-ho again. Mm-hmm. Park at the end of the other parking lot versus next to your door where you go in at work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've known folks to get themselves off of oxygen, you know, that we're dependent on it because for various reasons, essentially have made up their mind to do their own pulmonary rehabilitation and started just walking a few feet and walking back.
What about blood pressure medicine? You know, have you seen people off of blood pressure medicine?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And blood sugar medicine? Just doing a little more every day. Doing a little more movement. Walking to your mailbox and back.
You know, I've talked about this on more than one occasion. 1%.
Yeah.
If you make a 1% change every day over time, it becomes 100% change.
Yep. Yep. I also like to think about this, and this is where, again, I've talked about this, like, from an ancestral point. Like, if I was born several hundred years ago, what I would be doing right now is climbing a mountain in my bare feet with whatever weapon I could make, right, to find an animal so that my family could eat, right? And then we, as a tribe, would have to pack up when all the animals dried up. We would all have to be mobile and physically able to move to our new location to find the food. And I don't think that we have to be that extreme, but I think about that all the time. Like, if I was born several hundred years ago, I would survive. Like, I would be able to survive. I would be able to, because we, you know, we had to shoot the animal with what probably a rock and a stick, right? And then you had to follow it, and you had to be able to move to survive. It wasn't until just recently that we've gotten
and
this.
And then carry it back to
that's
your
exactly right, yes.
place. And process it, you know.
Process and butcher it yourself and cook it yourself.
And then finally eat it. Not just drive through a drive-thru.
That's exactly right.
And eat some non-food processed Franken food
and you also shared your portions with the tribe, and so you were eating what you should eat, not the whole cow.
That's right.
I mean, you were sharing what you were preparing with a whole group of people, a whole family of people. I've said for years I was born in the wrong era. I could go back to that era in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It goes back to what I said at the beginning. We have outsourced movement
That's
for
right.
convenience.
That's right.
And we
for
want
convenience.
It to be a convenient world. And nobody wants to be inconvenient for anything at any time. Actually, inconvenience people is very healthy.
It is very healthy. Yep.
It's very healthy to be have to go get your food, have to prepare your own food. It's very healthy. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Move it.
Move more.
Move it.
I like to move it.
Move it.